We love it when our children get involved and be part of our services. It's a great blessing. And I want to take just a few moments and share with you a thought that the Lord has given me out of Luke chapter 22. And I want to touch on what our children showed you this morning as we learn an example of how things doesn't need to be between us and God. We need to have clean hearts before God that He may be honored with our life. And as you see in the illustration, our brother had socks on, which represented something between his feet and the eggs. And when he walked on the eggs broke, you know, because there's a separation between man and God, which is sin. And you seen when I walked on the eggs as the pastor, my feet were against the eggs, which I'm with God, and there's nothing in between me and Him. And when there's nothing in between, our lives are blessed with God. And when you saw our brother take his socks off and walk on the eggs, then the eggs didn't break. You can try that illustration at home if you want to. And I was amazed the first time I saw it that, you know, you could put a man upon a set of eggs and they wouldn't break. But when the children brought this to me, I thought, what a great example of an illustration how to realize they don't need to be anything between us and the Lord. So if you got your Bibles here in Luke chapter 22, I want to read a scripture to you here out of verse 31. 31 through 34 here in Luke chapter 22. Let's stand to our feet this morning for the reading of God's Word. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith not fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Listen what the Lord said. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you give us, Lord, fresh bread from heaven today? God, I need your leadership this morning. I need your anointing. God, for just a few moments as we bring this thought to your people, may you use us today. Should there be one under the sound of our voice that don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray today, Lord, that they'll get that out of their life. Lay the sin down and let you in. Lord, we love you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter that Christ has taken the Last Supper with his disciples. And he is spending some time to encourage them. And out of the pureness of Peter's heart, he tells the Lord, Lord, I'll even die for you. I'm for you. I'm with you. I'll die for you, Lord, no matter what. And Christ tells him here about the failures and the failure in his life that is soon to come. So today I want to preach on a thought that the Lord gave me, overcoming your failures. Overcoming your failures. I don't know about you, but the devil constantly reminds me of my failures. Can I get a witness this morning? He's constantly telling me how that I can't overcome and how that I'm not fit to do the works of God and how that I'm no more than just nothing before God and God doesn't love me. But I'm glad that God sent His Son. I've accepted Him into my life. His blood is upon my soul. He has filled me up. I am favored of God and blessed of God. And the devil can't do nothing about it. Amen. He loves you this morning, no matter where you've been or what you've done. Here we see Peter, and he's with the Lord, and the disciples, they've eat this supper with him, and they don't realize, I don't think in their mind, that they have come to the place, the final meal, the final time, they'll get to speak with their Lord and get to spend some time with him. He's told them and told them and told them, and yet they still are not paying attention. And even when he begins to tell them what he's about to go through, Peter steps up out of the pureness of his heart. I believe he meant it truly in his heart. Lord, I'll even die for you. You know, I may ask you right now, if you were put to the test and somebody came and put a gun to your head and said, if you don't denounce Christ, I'm going to shoot you in the head right now. I wonder how many of us would denounce Christ and say, I don't believe, don't shoot me. Or how many of us will stand up and say, yes, I'm a born-again believer. Yes, I stand for the cross. Yes, I stand on His Word. And yes, I'm a child of God. I wonder how many of us would do that. I'm taken back to the first school shooting. You remember back in Columbine with a young lady where the man walked up to her, the young man, and told her to denounce Christ, and she wouldn't do it, and he killed her right on spot. I'll tell you one thing. I believe that was one of them Simon situations where the man pointed the gun at her, and before she could even say that she stood for Christ, when he pulled back on the trigger, I believe that the Lord stepped right in. I believe he moved right in and took care of the situation. I'll tell you, one day after a while, we're going to have to make a stand for the Lord. If you've not made a stand lately, you're going to have to make a stand. There's telling us on every hand, don't say this, don't do that, don't stand for that, and don't stand for this. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Amen? We're going to have to stand for the Lord in these last days. Peter, here out of the pureness of his heart, he's trying to tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. I'll stand for you. I'll die for you, Lord. I'll go all the way. But he looked right into his heart, just like he has this morning. He looks right into our hearts. He says, before the cock will crow today, three times, you're going to deny me. Imagine what he thought right that moment. Surely. That's not me. No, that's not me. Lord, I'll die for it. That's not me. One part of him was true blue, but deep down inside, there was a fear welling inside. I wonder what happens when you're put to the test. What's really going to happen? Now, we can put on our suits and we can put on our nice dresses and look real good and act real good and have a front. But I'll tell you, there's going to come a testing time when you're put to the test. And you got to find out what you're really made of. And you got to stand for God even in the hard times. It's all right when everybody's testifying and praising you for what you do. But I wonder when they start putting you down, start lying on you and telling all false things against you. What are we going to do then? Are we going to allow the stuff to creep in our lives? Are we going to allow the devil to push these things into our lives and start backing up and saying, no, not me, not me. And we start letting something come between us and the Lord. Will you stand for God? Nah, not me. Let the pastor do it. I'm going to stand over here. You've just allowed something to come in between you and God. I heard you go down there at that Vicar's Chapel. Do you go down there? No, I don't go. I just visited one. I don't go down. And you're on the membership row here, but you're backing up. You're allowing the devil to put something between you and God. Getting quiet this morning. This week when you was down at the job site and they were talking about things and all of a sudden church came up and somebody wanted to know something about church and about living for God and you heard the conversation and you hadn't been studying your Bible, you ain't been doing what you need to do for God, and you started backing up. You was like, no, I don't want to get in that conversation. I know where that's going. You just allowed the devil to get in between you and God. Before you can have victory in your life as a child of God and get these things out of your life, you're going to have to confront the situation that's going on in your life. If there's something that's constantly in your way, keeping you from fellowship with God, I'm talking to you that are truly born again. If you've dried up and you feel like you're in a desert and you're going nowhere in your life, you're going to have to confront the situation that is going on in your life. You know why? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're looking at a man that has sinned. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, not even me, not even you. No, not one, the Bible says. There's none righteousness. amongst this congregation here. We're not righteous. Only thing that makes us righteous is His blood that's on our soul. Amen. That's the only thing that makes us righteous. He tells us over in Isaiah 64, He tells us, but we are all an unclean thing and all unrighteous. Well, our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags before Him. Well, I did all this week. I mowed the neighbor's yard, and I got these works done for this one, and so-and-so called and asked me to go to the hospital. I went to the hospital, and Brother Gary called and asked me to go down to the church and vacuum. I went down there and done that, and I gave it to the church last week when I really didn't have it, and I've done all these great things. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Those are good deeds, and they're wonderful. We should help people. We should do the works of God. We should try to help people. But there's something in the way. There's something in the way of fellowship. Our children this morning are trying to help you understand there's something in the way. The church is wanting to go to the next level, and there's something in the way. I've talked to some people of this church, and they say, I feel like the church is getting ready to explode. There's something holding it back. And I've looked at some of them, and when they say, I look at me, I say, is it me holding them back? Is it you holding it back? You know, it may take you waving your hand a little bit. Somebody here in this church say, you know what, I like to wave my hand like a pastor does. But I look around, and nobody else is waving their hand, so we sit there. I asked one brother, I said, well, how come nobody raises their hand? How come nobody says amen? Well, we just done it this way for so long, we just get in a rut sometimes. It's time to get out of the rut. Let's get this out in between us and God. Let's worship God and lift our hands and bless His name. Well, I just don't worship that way. I worship innerly. Bless God, when you go to the ball game, you don't worship innerly. Go, Junior! Hey, go get that basket. It's wonderful. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my grand. You grandparents shout louder than anybody does. Woo! That's my grandson. He's got it. Watch him go. Watch him go. But we get to church and we get all quiet. I wonder what this morning when you got up, did you think, I'm going down to the house of the Lord. I'm going to get me a blessing today. Or did you think, Lord, I want to come and give you a sacrifice of praise. Lord, I just want to lift my hands. Lord, I just want to say amen. Lord, it's just me. I just want to honor you by being in your house, Lord. I don't want nothing in between me and you. Have you thought about that? Coming to church is not about what we can get. It's about what we can give. And our children have given this morning to help you realize there's something in between you and God. There's something there. We need to get that out of our lives. A lot of times we think our righteousness is a good thing, and it's going to do us good, and that's what we need to be doing. And as long as we're doing that, everything's all right. In 1 John 1:8, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, listen, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We can't only just confront the problem. We've got to confess the problem. And if we say we have no sin in our lives, we make Him out to be a liar. And the truth is not in us. And we know that's not a liar. There's no lie within Him. There's sin in our lives. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do that today. If we say, and we go on and we keep saying, we have no sin, I've not done these things, I'm a good person. That's the devil telling you that you're living in sin and it's okay. But I'll tell you this morning, we got to get clean before God if He's going to bless our life. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Do you hear me this morning? There's something in the way and we need to get it out of the way. We're trying to do the works of God and we're trying to help people, but the devil's constantly trying to trip you up and make a failure out of your life. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that overcometh sin shall prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. Are you willing to forsake those sins and get away from those sins? I don't know what that sin is in your life. I try to examine my life every day and say, God, are there anything in between me and you? If there is, Lord, show me what that is till I can move that out of the way. And if it's my prayer life and I'm trying to pray and I'm trying to seek the Lord and I'm trying to do His will and I'm asking Him and there's always something in my way, I'm trying to find out what that is. This morning, you've got to find out what that is. How does your day start off? Does it start off in prayer? That could be the hindrance right there. That could be what's in the way right there. When you start your day off and you don't even start it off with the Lord. When you get up in the morning, we're all stiff, we're all sore, we're all just waking up and it's hard. And do we get up and we go to the bathroom and we wash our face and we start our day and we go make our breakfast and we eat our breakfast and then we get in the cars and we go to the schoolhouses, we go to the workplaces and different things and we've never considered the Lord one time. But what we need to be doing is saying, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. You know what you've just done? Let me help you understand. Somebody get me a chair. Let me just use this one. Here's the devil, first thing in the morning. I wake up, and this is in my way. In my way, first thing, when I open my eyes, it's in my way. As soon as I wake up, Lord, all of a sudden, the angels pull it out of the way. Lord, it's me. I thank you for waking me up this morning, Lord. Would you help me? And I put my legs out on the floor, and I get up. And I go and do my thing, and I get my breakfast. I'm getting my breakfast together. Satan puts it right back in my way. And I sit down to eat my breakfast. It's right my way again. Before I touch a bite, Lord, the angels pull it out of the way again. I say, Lord, thank you for this food I'm about to receive. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. It's out of my way. Then I start my day and the devil gets this and he drags it along. And he's constantly putting it my way. And I'm trying to do works of God. And I'm having to step over it and work over it. And the devil's constantly getting in my way. And I'm saying, Lord, you help me. And the angels are pulling it back and forward. And the demons are over here pulling it back and forward. And it's a constant battle all day long. Boy, that sounds exhausting. If you walk with God, He'll make a way. As long as I walk with the Lord, they're keeping it all out of my way. I'm walking with Him. Everything's all right. And when the devil comes along, I'm walking along, everything's going good. The devil's always pulling it my way, trying to hinder me. I finally have to stop and say, devil, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, it is out of the way. He moves it completely out of the way. Why? Because he don't want the devil to hinder me. You have to prove to the devil there's not going to be anything in between you and God. Do I just do this once in my life? No, you got to show the devil that you mean business. Our children have showed you this morning they mean business. They're trying to show you by an illustration, don't have anything between you and God if you want to be blessed to God. I can do all things through Christ. I can walk on a dozen of eggs and not break them to show you that God is able to hold up a full-grown man on an egg. Who would have ever thought that? Only God can do that. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're struggling in your life and you don't know what's going on, there's something in the way. He loves me. He loves you. He loves each and every one of you. Brother Brian, he loves you unconditionally. I don't care where you've been, what you thought, what you've done this week. God loves you. He loves you with a love that I don't even hardly understand. I can't hardly understand the love of God. But boy, I'm sure glad I'm part of it. Amen? He loves me that way. It's not by works lest any man should perish, okay? We cannot be saved by works. It's trusting in Him. He doesn't want us to perish. It's not His will that we perish, but we trust in Him. And so when Brother Brian gets up and he starts his day with the Lord, I mean, he starts it with fuel. I mean, he's putting on Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all know what that is? He's putting on that whole armor of God. Why? Because he's fixing to face the enemy. We're fixing to go into the battlefield, and we're getting ready to face the enemy. So I'm gonna start my day with the Lord, so there's nothing in between me. So as soon as I face the enemy, I'm armed with the armor of God, and I can face him. And he's telling you this morning, you can do it. You may be discouraged this week. Now, when I was in my study praying about this message, and I'm trying to hurry, he told me some of you all are discouraged in here. And he said, reason they're discouraged because there's something in the way. It could be fear. It could be doubt. It could be depression. It could be anxiety. It could be financial. It could be marital problems. It could be problems with your children, your wife, your husband. I don't know what it is. But there's something in the way. There's something that you just look like a deer in a headlight. You know, you're just here, you know. And I talk to you and I preach to you and I try to tell you that God loves you and He wants the best for you. You can overcome. You can do it. You're still just not paying attention. God said, get your attention this week. He said, tell them that I love them. And I don't want nothing in between us. Here's the way I see God. I feel like when I lay down at night, I said, Lord, I love you. And I talk to him just like I'd talk to you or talk to my daughter or wife, and I'd say, Lord, I love you. Watch over me tonight. I'll see you in the morning. And I'll go sleep. And I'll wake up in the morning. Good morning, Lord. That's the way I start my day. You may think I'm crazy. I ain't just saying. That's the way I start my day. You know what I feel like the Lord's been doing all night long? Anxiously waiting. He's going to wake up any time now. I can't wait to talk to my son. Your children's moved out and they're gone, when they tell you they're coming home, you can't wait. You've cleaned the house. You got everything ready. You're so excited, man. They're coming. You can't wait to sit down and fellowship with them and let them tell you all how their days went and where they've been and what they've done. I believe the Lord's same way every morning. He's so excited. I'm going to get to talk with my child. They're going to be excited about serving me today. I believe the Lord's excited. And we get right up and don't even consider Him. Can you imagine how heartbroken the father must be when his own children won't give him the love that he deserves? It breaks my heart when I think about that. Especially when I went halfway through the day. I think, oh Lord, I've not even talked to you today. I'm so sorry. And he said, runs over and he says, that's all right. That's all right. I was right here the whole time. I love you. What do you want to know? What do you need? And he's right there, and he ain't like, well, I knowed you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't. He has never done me that way. He's always met me with a hug and a love and told me everything would be all right. For here, Peter's heart was broke. We see later on in the chapter that it happened exactly the way God said, and Jesus was taken, and as they were taking him out to crucify him, Peter was hiding in the shadows because he was afraid. He's afraid he's going to get killed because they come and got the Lord. And he was so filled with fear. He was hiding. And all of a sudden, he heard the cock crow. He looked over and there, I believe the Lord was going by and he saw him. He'd already denied him 3 times. Wasn't that awful? And he had to go away crying and weeping, and we find out he repented and God used him in a mighty way, but that was the turning point for him. Today could be your turning point. Are you tired of having something in between you and God? I wonder, if Christ was returned today and he called the church, could you stand before the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I've done everything you've asked for me to do. The best of my ability. Lord, I ain't been perfect, but I've done my best. Or would you have to stand there in shame going, oh, I hope he don't bring that up. I hope he don't ask me about that. We're going to be judged for every idle word. Everything that we have done against God, we're going to be judged for it. And this service right here, God will bring back to your remembrance. Remember when? I had my little children give you an example of how you got something between me and you never paid attention. I want to tell you today, Christ loves you. I want you to read Luke chapter 22, and I want you to search that out and find out all about that, and you can see how Peter denied and all that he went through. But you'll also see the victory that he had by trusting the Lord, standing for the Lord in his ministry. I'll just give you a simple thought today, so as every head is bowed and every eyes closed,